Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. Back sharing our burdens again this morning on this wonderful day of beauty and sunshine and so on. But you know what, Jay? I saw a bunch of clouds in the northwest kind of heading down, so I don't know if there's something in the forecast for you guys on scooters, but I think we'll get through it.
Better be careful.
Yeah. Anyway. Sorry about that little sidetrack there, folks, but I'm on with Sue. We call her Sue T, and that's about as far as we go. But Sue, welcome back.
Good morning, Scott. Good to be here this morning.
Yeah, great to have you. You're all tanned up and been away on vacation and explaining how it's so good to come back and clean all the instruments of the camping weekend. And
lots of fun camping. I enjoy camping, but it's a lot of work to get there, and a lot of work when you get home.
Yeah. Well, interesting too, but just quickly and totally off the topic, but you mentioned a 16-year-old son and how there comes a time when that whole separation thing becomes very alive and real too, doesn't it?
Very apparent to me right now.
Apparent as a parent, you know, parenting, and a 16-year-old who, mommy, you know what?
Couldn't wait to get back home. He could not wait to get back home. He was dying for us to leave. And as soon as we caught on the highway, he was already phoning his friends and trying to make arrangements. He thought I was going to drop him off home, drop his bag, and drop him off at the skateboard. But I had other plans for him because I made him carry everything out of the car because there was lots of stuff. And then I dropped him off at home.
Yeah. Right on. But anyway, it's part of life. And it's interesting because we're on this seventh part of our journey, which talks about being humble and humility as we approach our God in the case of the actual step. But we've got to be humble all day long if we really want to end up with any friends in the at the end of our lives and people who care and love us. And and that's what this month is about for Sharing the Burden. It's about exercising humility so that we can truly exercise the ultimate humility by taking the things we don't like about ourselves before our God or our higher power, or whatever we believe is running things out there, and getting down and asking for help and removing the things we think we're going to be better off without. You've been around this program, Sue, for a number of years now, maybe as many as me, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. And you have a long taste of sobriety and the so-called good life mixed with, won't call it the bad life, but the ups and downs of life. And, and humility is something we get to exercise, I think, every day of our lives. I do anyway. Yeah. When you think of this step, now we know, you know, the other previous steps are basically a big build up to finding out who we are and then what we're going to do with who we are and what we found out. And now we're approaching, you know, the King of Kings sort of thing, depending on the sort of religious background you have. But in asking that something be removed, we've talked all month about, if you had a choice of the things you don't like about yourself, is there one that you would ask, like right now and today and any time really, but that this be gone, that this nagging kind of a sense of who I am, like for me it's anger, you know, just to give you an idea.
Okay.
And I just wish I wouldn't click into that, but I do, you know, and it's well covered, but man, when it comes out, it's scary, even for me, you know, and even after 25 years of this kind of a training or a therapeutic times together with other people in group meetings. Have you got anything that
have I got
fits along those?
Do I have any character defects I'd like to get rid of? I got like tons. Would you like let me pull my list out of my pocket because it's really big. No, you know what? I thought of a couple of things while you were talking, which I'll share on in a minute. But, you know, that's a hard question, right? What is that one thing? I know for me, I've done a lot of work on myself. I've done a lot of inventory taking, and I've done, you know, they talk about your core issues and, my basic character defects that come up regularly, whether it be that self, fear is huge for me, right? Yeah. That self-centered feel, that selfishness, that inconsiderate. But yeah. Underneath all of that, you know, why do those come up? Why do I behave that way? And underneath that, if there's one thing that I could change about myself, mm-hmm. is knowing that I'm perfectly okay the way I am. You know, mm-hmm. I know that I'm loved by God, but my core issues is not feeling good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that will come up in all areas of my life. I've worked on it for a long, long time. I've done a lot of work around it. Mm-hmm. You know, it is my core issue. It's been there for many years, mm-hmm. since childhood, you know. I'm in a better place than I was many, many years ago, mm-hmm. through the work, but it's the one thing that's very prevalent in my life. And it'll still resurface itself. You know, when I think of, you know, talking about humility, and when I think of humility, I think you either get humble or you get humiliated. And I've lived my life in a lot of humiliation, you know, and when, you know, we're talking about step seven, we're talking about humbly asking God to remove these character defects, and, you know, like, what are they, and what does that look like? And when I think of humility and God, you know, unless I really can be truthfully see myself as who I am,
mm-hmm.
today, like I'm talking today, right here today, when I, you know, at the end of the day, mm-hmm. when I kind of analyze this day that I've gone through, am I humble enough? Am I able to admit when I falter? Am I able to admit when I fall short? Am I able to see that I'm not perfect? Am I able to say, you know, other people have a better way of doing things than me? Go figure, right? And so it's about owning that, you know, and I, you know, a lot of people talk about sobriety, and when I think of sobriety, I think of sober mind. And I'm not talking about alcohol or drinking. I'm talking about sober, seeing myself in the right perspective, seeing myself soberly, good, mm-hmm. bad, ugly, you know, imperfect. I know I'm looking at it from a negative connotation, but there's many wonderful qualities about me too. And when I can take away some of that negative stuff that I see myself, I usually view myself in a negative light. Right. I'm also able to see the positive attributes of who I am and who God created me to be.
Great, and very well summed up there, Sue. You mentioned these, I call that emotional sobriety, probably, as much as anything else, being able to, you know, and there's a time element for me. Like when, let's say we have a disagreement of some kind, and, mm-hmm. and I usually don't say much about it, you know, but it'll kind of... But I mean, I'll be with it in a hurry. I don't let these things go forever. I'll be with it in a hurry, and then I'll get it out, whatever way I have to get it out, whether it's talk more or something, talk to somebody else, maybe. But there's that space of discomfort that's really, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when the guillotine's, you know, when the guy's pulled the switch or, you know, and it's on its way down kind of thing, there's no turning back and there's no getting out.
But
there's still a space there, and it can seem forever. And that space is ultra uncomfortable, and it's always the same. It's a pit of the gut, and it's,
you know, can't run away from that, eh, right?
No,
it's there, I know.
No, and it's, and I'm, do I react or can I hold off? My thing now is response versus reaction. Can I, can I hang off enough? And, you know, and it's like I say, that thing's on its way down and I'm going to lose my head, but I want to do something, you know, on the right side of the lawn between that thing getting here and me losing my head. So there's still that time lag though, and it's just that little moment in time. That is like a demonic moment in time because of the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's one that I know I need to be free of to have that ultra freedom, you know. But do I have to die? Well, maybe emotionally, maybe spiritually, which I've done, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Died to who I am and all the things I don't like about myself. But I know my nature is still there. And, you know, even in Scripture, we call it sin nature in Scripture. But, you know, we die with that nature, too. So as much as we want to be good and humble and so on, it's very difficult. And you hit the nail on the head there, the way you said that before, just that we can... I got to be able to look at me when I do those things and when I so-called fail in my own head and create this trigger that makes me feel so rotten. And I've got to learn how to be with that rottenness. The guillotine's on its way down, but I've got to be there in the most comfortable fashion I can for it to pass. And it'll pass before the guillotine gets here if I let it.
Yeah, you know? I love how you call it demonic, which is really interesting because I kind of think...
Mm-hmm.
On a spiritual level, when we're there, it's about being uncomfortable with the uncomfortable. humbleness, right?
Yeah.
And it's very, very difficult to do because we want to fix things and we want to change outcomes and we want this to go away ASAP, right? Yeah. It's either blow a gasket or try to hold on and not be who we don't want to be, right? Because we don't want to be that person, but you know, we have all these emotions and these things going on. And I think in a spiritual realm, I'm going to talk about spiritual in a spiritual realm, I think that's where the enemy, whether you want to call it an addiction, whether you call it Satan himself, a negative forces, I don't care what name you call it. Yeah. I think that's when we're in our weakest point, when we get tempted.
Yeah.
And I think it's when the enemy comes and attacks us in our mind, right? Yeah. Tells us that we're A, B, or C, or tells us that person is whatever and you need to, you know, whatever. I think that's where the battle can be sometimes and we need to be within the uncomfortable. But it's, you know, it's funny how you talked about guillotine. I talk about, I think about a shelf with the books on it. Mm-hmm. And so I have these emotions and these feelings that are coming up and I'm feeling uncomfortable or I'm feeling resentful. I'm feeling frustrated and I want to tell. And, you know, you can put that book back on that shelf as many times as you want. But unless you deal with that issue, you're going to bend down and that book's going to hit you in the head. Mm-hmm. You know, so eventually it has to be dealt with. I was we were talking about camping and equipment and, you know, you're talking about anger and geez, I suffer from anger too. And I lose it sometimes. And sometimes I act very unbecoming of who I want to be and who I want to be as a mother. You know, we're finishing off our camping trip and we were putting away the Coleman stove and my son was ramming it in the box and it was driving me nuts. And I kept trying to tell him to put it in a certain way and all the equipment had to be inside the stove before you fold it up and put it in the box. Well, after, do not try to tell a teenager my way is the best way. I'm laughing about that as I say that. You know, he didn't listen to me. And then I lost it with my son. I just lost it with him. Very rarely do I swear, but, you know, I lost it with him. Yeah. And I'm like, if you would have beep, beep, beep to me the first time, this wouldn't happen to it. So, you know, it's almost like a pressure cooker, right?
Yeah.
Because once I blew it, I felt a lot better. But I felt better that I was able to release my emotion because he was really ticking me off.
Yeah.
But once the dust settled, that's not the kind of mom I want to be to him.
Yeah.
So I had to wait a few minutes until, you know, and then he went and did something else. And when he came back, I just kind of owned it. And I said, look, you know, I'm sorry that I yelled at you. I'm sorry that I said what I said to you. You know, I got really frustrated because you weren't listening to me. You had to do it my way in the first place to get it in the box, right? But, you know, it's all those things, right? I wish life was easy and I didn't have to deal with challenges, but those are the challenges of life and how do I deal with them? You know, it's funny, I have a really, really good sponsor and she says we get to clean it up as we go along.
Yeah,
right? We get to clean up our mess, you know, I'm not going to do things perfectly and guess what? The more mistakes I make, and I make so many.
Yeah.
The more I can allow other people to make their mistakes, right?
That's right. Yeah.
The more I can allow them to be falter and maybe say unkind things to me or, you know, say not, you know, or behave in a way that's not becoming of them. I know that they can behave better and how dare you treat me that way. But, you know, they're just like me, a human person who's, you know, trying to figure this all out, right?
Yep. No, you know, that's interesting too because acceptance has been a big word this month for a lot of us in meetings, you know, and so on. And, when I can fully accept what someone else shoots at me by remembering first that I've got to love that person because I'm taught to love. It's my faith. I'm taught to love everybody. You know, and neighbors are everybody else on this planet other than me. So, you know, I've got to love them all. I've got to love them equally and not give special favors here and there because someone's saying something I don't like. It's just not a good enough reason for me to beat them up, you know. And that's the natural reaction is to strike. My thing was even pre that, I mean, I was so calculated in life that if I had to physically fight with some big guy, I would plan exactly where I was going to hit him and how I was going to hit him and what he would look like when he was down. And that's how I was, you know. And so, I mean, I would, you know, preempt his striking, you know, by striking. But I mean, it was not a good way to live. It was so calculated that I had to make mistakes, big ones. And the bigger they were, the more I had to prove they weren't so I could even be higher up in this mess of, you know, people and gangs and bad guys and all that stuff. So it's not a good way to live.
Yeah, but you could do that too. I mean, it doesn't have to be physical. right? Yeah. You know, you hurt me. Yeah. You hurt me. You say something to me that I don't like or I disapprove of or that was hurtful to me. Yeah. How am I going to hurt you back? I'm going to make you realize that what you said to me was really hurtful, right? And I'm somehow going to make you pay the consequence of the pain that I'm feeling that you inflicted on me, right? It's funny that you're bringing this up about acceptance because, you know, I work with an elderly woman. Yeah. I work with her, Monday to Friday, 9 to like 3 in the afternoon. Yes. And she is a real challenge. I was just talking to my sister about that before I came here this morning. She is a real, real challenge. She's very abusive. She's abusive physically sometimes to me, and she's a very verbally abusive to me. Mm-hmm. And my first reaction, Scott, is not very pleasant in my mind. If you could hear what goes on in my mind. And like you said, I believe in God. Yeah. I love the Lord with all my life, with all my heart, and I want to glorify Him and be a witness to Him. Yeah. And so my first reaction is definitely not the way God wants me to behave. And so how do I maneuver around that? Because she does say a lot of really hurtful things to me, and she does it because she's, and I understand where it all comes from. I don't want to just take her inventory, but I know why she's behaving that way. It's about my reaction to her and how do I do that? And it's really, to be honest with you, it's very, very challenging. Most of the time, I end up going in the washroom a lot and praying because I'm not really sure how to respond because I want to hurt her the way she hurts me with her words. And she does it a lot with her words with me. Yeah. She says really sly, underhanded comments to me. But on the other side of the coin of that is, first of all, how do I not absorb that negativity? Mm-hmm. How do you be around negative people and not... Listen, I got joy in my heart, and I'm not going to let you suck that out of my life, right? And on the other side of the coin is how do I take care of my needs and know that what she's saying to me is not a personal attack against me? Yeah. And set out clear boundaries. And so it's kind of, I feel sometimes like I'm on a raft, right? You know, or tiptoeing around and, how do I take care of myself and make very clear what's acceptable, what I'm willing to accept from her? And the other thing is let go of some of the things that she's saying and say, okay, well, this is not about you, Sue. She's just a miserable, mean, spirited person, and she's just lashing out at you, and this is nothing about you, and don't absorb it. And so some days I do really good at it, and other days I don't, right?
It's good. We're going to take a break in a sec, but I want to talk about humility versus humiliation, because I think I've got the answer to that, whether
you
I can do it
okay,
or not.
Okay, I want it.
Whether you can do it
is
or not,
story?
Or
okay.
Whether I can do it or not, that's the other thing. But anyway, folks, Scott at 102.9 FM, we're going to take a quick break here. Jay's going to take us out and probably pay some bills. But Jay, what do you got for us?
Yes, I think it's time to pay those bills. We'll be back right here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.